Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
To whom it may concern, if you're having trouble landing a job, it could be your letter of recommendation. Research supported by the National Science Foundation and published in the Journal of Applied Psychology found that female applicants were more likely to be described as caring and supportive and less likely to get the job. Coincidence? The researchers don't think so. And this comes as women are already behind in the workforce. According to the U.S. Labor Department, women on average still earn around 20% less than men. Rice University psychology professor Mickey Hebel studies diversity and discrimination. She's one of the authors of this study. And professor, we know you studied more than 600 recommendation letters. You took out other gender indicators and objective criteria like the number of awards or publications an applicant might have had, and asked faculty members at a research university to rank the applicants on their hireability. What did you find?
We found that those letters that had higher numbers of communal words received lower ratings of hireability.
Communal words, what are they?
Communal words are words that you think of when you think of the female stereotype. So words like sensitive, caring, nurturing, kind, compassionate, as compared with agentic words, which are more masculine stereotyped words like leader, initiative, decisive, independent.
Yeah. Well, why do you think this is happening? What do you think these communal words mean to prospective employers?
If you look at discrimination toward men and women or discrimination toward any group, you see that the overt types of discrimination are by and large decreasing. So if we discriminate against women and men on the basis of gender, then there are repercussions. So what happens is people are not discriminating overtly, but that does not mean that the discrimination is gone. It means that they're doing it in ways that are more subtle, ambiguous. Perhaps it's subconscious or not even conscious at all. And I think this is an example, this is a type of research I study where it's interpersonal discrimination. It's discrimination that's much more subtle. And I think the word choices, the seemingly innocuous words that people choose to use in describing men and women are discriminatory. I think they are choosing words that are more communal to describe women because it's like the stereotypes, and they're using words that are more stereotypical for men, the agentic words, the words like decisive, independent, aggressive, assertive, to describe the men. And so what I think it's reflecting is our cultural stereotypes for men and women. Unfortunately, when it comes to the jobs, and particularly the jobs that we looked at where agentic words are valued more for the job and communal words are not, then you see implications. So you see that women are not going to fare well. And the problem with that is that for most jobs, agentic words are respected more than caring communal words.
Sure. And we should say, you point out it's not hard and fast. You say it's not just men on the hiring end who are receiving this information and processing it this way. It's women are doing it too when they're hiring other women. And it's not just women being hurt. Men are too. If men are described with these same communal words, they also go to the bottom of the pile.
Absolutely. But and we know that, and in fact, that's consonant with how we view the men and women as in general when they display stereotypical feminine versus masculine behaviors, attitudes, things like that. It's much more negative for a man to display feminine characteristics than it is for a woman to display masculine characteristics.
Right. But in general, the communal language is hurting the women more. So what do you recommend that people do? I mean, can you literally go to someone you've asked to write a letter of recommendation for you and say, you know I'm really nice and get along with people, but could you harden up the language?
Well, I think that is one thing they could do, but I think let's just talk about the bigger issue at first, which is how do we reduce all of the ambiguous sort of subtle discrimination, not just prevalent in this study, but prevalent, you know, in lots of different domains. In other studies, we look at eye contact, we look at smiling, we look at word choice, we look at paraverbal behaviors, like how much nodding and all sorts of informative, reinforcing sorts of behaviors. And we see less favorable behaviors there as well toward women and other groups that are stigmatized. So I think the first thing that we need to do in all of these cases is just raise awareness. then I think you say, okay, now what can we do to remediate it? And I think about what the characteristics are that are really, really important for the particular job. So for academics, we know that it's much more important to be agentic than it is to be communal. And I think it's very fair to ask your letter writer to stress some of the things that the job is particularly looking for. So in jobs, a lot of time in the job description, they say we are looking for somebody who can run an autonomous research program or something like that. Then I think it's really important to, you know, perhaps give that job description to the letter writer with autonomous highlighted or with a paragraph that says, I was hoping you could please accentuate these characteristics that I tried to show in my work with you.
Well, and of course, another option would be, you know, just perhaps somehow, some way, helping society embrace those communal characteristics as good ones, perhaps over the much longer term.
Oh, absolutely. That's the idea. That would be the grand plan, to change the value that we place on communal versus agentic stereotypes and qualities. That is absolutely the case. Unfortunately, when we ask, there is a study by Madeline Heilman done. It's one of my favorite studies because of its impact. And it asked students and participants to describe words that they think of when they think of a good leader or somebody successful. And people will say things like independent, assertive, good decision maker. And then she has people list words that are consonant with a male leader or a male good worker. And they list good leader, assertive, makes good decisions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then they ask, describe what it means to be a good female leader, good female worker. And they say things like, includes others, is thoughtful.
Goes out and gets lunch for everybody.
Yeah. So until we can see the correspondence between what a good worker is that's female and a good worker overall is, I think we're going to have less trouble breaking down these stereotypes and the impact of them. You know, we know that women are better leaders. They are good workers in some dimensions. For instance, they are more likely to enact transformational leadership styles. And we know that in some cases those are more successful leadership styles. But that's not what we think of when we think of female leaders.
That's Rice University psychology professor Mickey Hebel. Her study on how the kind of language that's used in a letter of recommendation can impact whether or not you get hired appeared in the Journal of Applied Psychology. We'll link to an article at our website, herenow.org. Professor Mickey, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.